I need a beer.
All right. This is Bone Wine Bob. Welcome to an all new edition of Bone with Bobcat on the Bone Wine Bob YouTube channel and on all your favorite podcast apps. We bring you the best of the worst in cheap booze, the bottom shelf, bum wines, beers, 40s, malt liquor, all the stuff you grew up on, we cover here each and every week on the podcast. So do us a solid and smash that subscribe button on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel. Now over 11,000 subscribers and counting. So hey, we're doing something right over here, people. So whatever brought you to the dance, if you made it to the podcast, if you made it this far, if it was some old school clips of Rodney Dangerfield, Johnny Carson, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Cheers, Norm, Cliff, you name it, we cover it here on the YouTube channel. So do us a favor, spread the word and tell your friends. Doesn't cost a penny to subscribe, and just hit that subscribe button down below. Smash that subscribe button. But if you do want to help support the BWB team, you can join and become a member of the BWB, the Booze Hounds, is what we are calling the crew here. And for only $3.99 a month, so about the price of a 40-ounce beverage, you can become a member, gain some bonus content in the process. As we said last week, we recently released for members only the full video episode of Lindsay Ryder from 2 years ago when she joined us before we were doing full video podcasts. Lindsay joined us here and we did some Four Loko with her. We had some more that are coming up, some other ones from the Bum Wine Bob archives coming your way. So do us a solid. And there'll be some bonus content as well. So no pressure. You don't want to join? That's fine. Just do what you got to do over there. Just help spread the word. The best of the worst in cheap booze is right here on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel and at Bumming with Bobcat. But let's not waste any more time. We got a lot to cover this week. So let's bring in here the man of the hour, Roadhouse.
Yeah, buddy.
Roadhouse fan, how you doing?
All right, now I'm excited about this one. This is going to be an adventure.
It's always an adventure here. You never know what you'll get when you click on the play button on an episode of Bumming with Bobcat. We've done some challenges in the past. Fruit Loops challenges. We've done. A variety of different things here, and I think we kind of talked about this one in passing.
Yeah.
But we said, you know what? Screw it. We'll do it here. And there was one man who actually spearheaded the challenge. I guess we're not going to call it. It's somewhat of a challenge. It's somewhat of a celebration. Well, we haven't done any official subscriber celebrations lately. Going over 10,000 subscribers, now over 11,000 subscribers. But we'll bring him in here. We have Kevin's back this year. Kevin the tattoo dude is back. Kevin, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. As we said, last week we had Kevin and his buddy old Greg join us to open some Four Loko to kick off Four Loko October, Four Loko Fall, whatever you want to call it there. And in passing, we were talking about some different things that came out, and Kevin and Roadhouse and myself were having a discussion and said, you know what, we'll do it. Let's do something different here as we're waiting on a response about something for Roadhouse.
Yeah.
over there. Because there was some goodies and a special care package that made its way over to Kevin and myself this past week that you can kind of piece it together. We're not going to spoil anything with it as of yet on here. But if you're out there, if you're following Kevin or myself, you might have seen the contents of said care package there. But while we're waiting on a response from Four Loko, if they will hook up our pal Roadhouse here.
Yes. Yeah.
Kevin brought up something else that we could cover here this week. But I think before we get into the real meat of this episode, I think we should crack open a cold one first and wet our whistle here to get us going here. So we all brought along here. We got the we got some PBR here. Godzilla. Here we got a guy with our Godzilla, the Godzilla cans here. Great artwork when PBR does these things with the special artist collections here.
Yeah,
let's dive into this first and get some beers going here. All right, cheers, cheers, guys. All right, cheers,
boys.
All right, cheers.
Good.
Yep.
Ooh, that was a little one. That was wasn't as forceful as usual. The
yeah.
Over there.
That was good.
That's yeah.
It's refreshing.
Boys are going to go down easy tonight.
Yeah, I mean for the.
Oh yeah, they are.
Ice cold.
A little bit easier than Four Loko, but you know.
Yeah. You know, it is Four Loko October, and I was kind of geared up for that tonight, but this is a pleasant break.
Yeah, yeah. You take a few little intermission in between here. Well, we will be back on that Four Loko train again. Don't worry.
I have one in there, and I wanted to crack it open because I hadn't had it in a while, but we'll save it.
I know you. It takes a lot for you to show that self control sometimes, and not go in there and reach in and grab that.
I know it. I did a bit. I did a big fridge clean out. I showed you the remnants in the debris field yesterday. Stragglers that were taking up space in the fridge. I went ahead.
There it was.
Yeah, I mixed and matched. I had some. Some Outlaw, some Pabst, some hams left. I was just drinking them all last night.
I know, it's like you got one random beer. This one here. I got this one. Yeah. Okay, let's clear it out. Now you can go through. Now restock and re-inventory everything to get the next lineup. In there, so don't worry. We'll be back with your Four Loko October with Lokoween just around the corner. While I don't know, I mean they did release the their can costumes again this year, this past week. I know they're up in the Four Loko store, the USA and the camo.
Yeah, they gave the two options. Yeah,
yeah, but. But I'm like, you know, I got a USA one already. I got a gold one. I mean, do I really need a camo one?
You might. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how things turn out here.
Yeah, maybe
you need the camo one about as much as you need that tuxedo T-shirt.
very formal. I was going to say, very formal. It's funny, if you look at the comments of the people that want, like, I know they are doing some giveaways if you fill out whatever on their social media and everything, and people are always saying, like, oh, if you give me a free one, I'll wear this all day, every day, constantly, and document it and everything. But surprisingly, they never bite on it, though. No, Four Loko doesn't say, okay, let's see proof. Let's see if you'll wear that all the time.
Yeah,
I would like to see that, though. If somebody did get one, and then you see them going all around, going to the, you know, going to the supermarket, they got it on, they're going to work, they have it on.
When they're doing Uber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So.
I could probably wear, you know, I mean, this is actually pretty comfortable. I think I could maybe wear it for a week. Yeah. It's like that stretchy material, like the Under Armour Nike material.
Yeah, but the can costume, that's kind of big. You're kind of going around. Yeah,
it would fall off me.
Yeah, I will know because they don't send me one.
Yeah, so hook up. Hey.
We're going to call them out, and we're going to make sure you get your stuff, man.
Yeah, we're calling out for that.
Yeah, exactly. Hook up a brother over here. Come on, hook up Roadhouse over
the
here.
The evidence is, dude, listen. I mean, there's too many coincidences to say they're not listening.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This, so many things we put out there, and then next thing you know, poof, things show up. So you never know.
It's been a hot minute since I got any kind of care package from them. I think the last one was just a fucking shit ton of stickers. And they're sitting around here somewhere. They're always around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been a while.
I think maybe if I keep drinking, I might get my voice back.
You need to lubricate. Yeah. You need to lubricate over there.
Keep the vocal cords.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it lubricated there, because as we said, we always try to keep things nice and loose. Nice and loose over here, and. As we were teasing before, that we have loosey goosey, good to go here. That we were talked about briefly last time about a new release that was out there in the food market, and this is beer related. And what it is here, is the new Pabst, the beef, bacon, and beer chili. Yeah. We had talked about this last week, and we said, oh, you know, we should try this out. So, you know, we said, screw it. We're going to do it. We are going to crack this open and give it a shot. See, I already cracked it open. See, this can here, this is an empty can here. I know.
But I've got an extra can.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you everybody's stocked up on there. And these are a Walmart exclusive.
Yep.
You can only find these at your local Walmart, nowhere else there. And they might try to hide them on you, or as Roadhouse found out, they might be sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
They're a hot commodity these days.
I didn't know that.
Trying to get your hands on this.
It's been an adventure today, you know. So when we decided on it last night, I went on the Walmart app and ordered 4 cans because it didn't show in my store, but it gave me enough time to where they could bring it in. They said I could still have it by today. So I ordered it last night and I went into the store today just to look to make sure that, you know, maybe they had inventory problems or something like that. And definitely the shelf was empty where it was at, but I was still confident I was going to get my order in. And we talked about, Bob and I talked earlier today, and I said, all right, so they just sent me a message saying, unfortunately, we're not going to fulfill your order. And I was like, well, shit, I thought I was going to have to drive like 60 miles to go, you know, to the next Walmart and see if they have it. What it was is I ordered 4 cans. They were only able to get me 3. So the message I got saying they wouldn't be able to fulfill my order was I would be minus 1 can.
Okay.
That would have been all right.
And then shortly after I messaged you and said, you know, I'm going on this road trip. Then I got a message saying my order's ready for pickup. And so I turned around. I wasn't very far away. I turned around, went back, and it was the 3 cans. That's when I realized
the whole
situation was resolved.
Yeah. So. It was close. Get into that 11th hour.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I was like, you got 10 hours to find yourself.
Yeah, you guys gave me the countdown. So
perhaps you would have had to make that 60-mile trip out there to make this happen tonight.
Yeah.
To go get you some, man. And it might be, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see how the sales are going for this.
Yeah, because listen, if I didn't even know about it and I was walking through an aisle at Walmart and I seen it, I would have to buy it regardless.
Oh, yeah. Curiosity.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, so I bet the majority of their sales is like that.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, I know I saw, I think it was, it just popped up maybe a month ago on like my Instagram feed, I saw like an advertisement for it, and I was like, oh shit, you know, Pabst, Chili. I'm like, okay. And then I said, okay, Walmart exclusive. And they had like a link to, it was on like the news and some, I don't know. It wasn't like Good Morning America or something like that. It was some local news station that was doing a story probably in Milwaukee or something where it's, you know, beer central about this. And I was like, okay, cool. And I'm like, I'll keep an eye out for it. And next thing I know, and then I kept forgetting every time I would go to Walmart, I would just forget about it.
Yes.
And then we talked about it. Then Kevin's like, hey, we should do this. I was like, okay, let's go. Kevin went out right after, made sure he had it. He went up, picked some up. Roadhouse ordered it. I went out this morning. I go into Walmart. And first I made, because I looked online and it said, okay, my Walmart said it had it. And it said it was in aisle A10. So I go in and I'm walking down the aisle. And this is the chili aisle. So it wasn't the soup aisle, it was the chili aisle. But I'm looking along the aisle, and I see, you know, your Hormel chilies, all the different ones there. I know they got a Wendy's chili in a can now. And
Yellowstone.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them there. I took a video of it, so I didn't see it. Then I said, okay, well, maybe they said it was there, but maybe it's in the soup aisle with all the rest of, you know, the Campbell's soup.
Yeah.
So then I go down, you know, the next aisle, and then I'm going through. Okay, I'm searching. Okay, you got all your soups. And then right up front was the Campbell's, the other one, the Pabst beer cheese.
That's what
beer cheese with potatoes and chorizo was right there. So I'm like, okay, here's the one. I'm looking. I'm like, okay, still no sign of the chili. But I'm like, all right, I was going to get this anyway just to have, you know, to try for another day. We'll circle back and give this one a shot. So I said, well, all right, maybe it was by the chili and I just missed it. So I go back and I go to the chili aisle again, and I'm looking at the shelf, and they have a variety of different Campbell's chili. But then I had to go and I had to really crouch down, move them to the side, and in the very back of the shelf was the cans of the Campbell's Pabst chili. And I was just on the Walmart website now for the local Walmart. It does say that it has low stock. It says that you can pick it up or get it shipped by tomorrow, but it now has a low stock warning. So as Roadhouse saw, and now I saw, I mean, it must be a mad rush it is chili season. It's fall. It's getting cooler now. I know by me, we're hitting the towards freezing temperatures almost. So it's getting to be that season.
I'm about to show you right now what it is. It's hot. I feel like I'm back in Arizona for some reason. It's pretty bad. But you know what that reminds me of though is back in the day when I was a kid, if I saw a toy or something or a Halloween costume or anything like that I really wanted, but my mom couldn't afford it until like the next day or a couple days later, I would hide it.
Put
it in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we'd go back and I'd be like, oh, mom, don't worry. We have it. And then I'd pull away, you know, and then there it is.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So maybe that's what people are doing. Maybe they're, 80 degrees, man. Oh, I mean, we had that this past weekend by me. It was like 80.
It's rough.
It was like 85. Yeah. And now it's like 40 something now. So
55. Tis,
oh, man. Send it our way. I need
it. Tis the season. Here, but luckily we all got our hands on some PBR, some Pabst beef, bacon, and beer chili with beans. Don't forget there are some beans in here.
So we
heated it up beforehand. We have it ready here. So let's not waste any more time. Let's dive in before this gets a little too cold out here.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So I put it in, and this is a mug size. I got it in.
Oh,
in my mug. So it's just about a mug.
I should have put in my
size.
Star Wars mug.
So this is what you're getting. I mean, this is a.
It's definitely chili, buddy.
I was gonna say it's a 16.5 ounce can, 1 pound 5 ounces. So I think this is probably Yeah, I mean, this mug here is, I think, like an 18, maybe an 18-ounce mug. So, I mean, because it comes up, it's almost towards the top of it here. So we get it the mug. And we're going in here. We're doing just standard out of the can. Yeah, no, not adding anything. Because I was like, oh, do we put, people, and we'll go into, chili.
I want to get into that discussion.
Our chili here. But we said we're going to go right out. Just you buy this in a store, I went the extra mile. I put this on the stove to heat it up that way. Now you guys put it in the microwave. Let's dive in. Give it a shot here. All right.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Yep.
I like it.
Oh man. Wow.
That's really freaking good.
That's actually really good.
Yeah. This was another one I tried to stay away from. There's not too many reviews out there on YouTube for it, but I still didn't want to read anything or watch anything because, once again, like with the Four Loko stuff, try not to get your mind skewed by reading or watching that stuff beforehand.
Yeah, it pairs nicely. So, I was reading the ingredients on the can, and all the ingredients are spot on, like good stuff. And then you get to the bottom, and everything's GMO.
That's how it is, man. That's Campbell's.
Yeah,
it had it just seems like it has all natural, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing I can't pronounce. And then you get to the bottom, and it just contains bioengineered food ingredients. The ingredients are corn to soy to sugar is a product of genetic modified crops. What the fuck?
That's how they get you for the two steep is what it costs, at least
$2.47 here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for
I love it
for that.
Wasn't very expensive. Yeah.
No.
If I was not homeless, same. I would eat it.
Well, I'll eat it too. It'll make a turd.
I know. Exactly. That's right. All right, guys. So I also got another deal. All right. So because I was having this PBR chili and I had a 12-pack of PBR, my wife was like, well, I'm going to cook homemade chili. I was like, all right. I said, you should put a PBR in it.
Okay.
Well, that's what she did.
Oh, there you go.
And this is a nice product, guys.
Oh, okay. So this is a little side-by-side
comparison.
Taste test comparison of the canned PBR Campbell's chili and some homemade chili with PBR.
I'm going to save you the drama, and your wife's chili's better.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But for something out of in a pinch out of a can.
But you can taste PBR, and so my goal tonight was to sit there and sip a couple sips before I did it, and then take a bite, take a sip. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You can taste a little bit of PBR in it. That sweetness from the PBR is what you taste a little bit.
Yeah, and this the Campbell's the PBR chili, it's got a little bit of
a little
kick. It's got a little bit of a like kick.
Sweetness.
Yeah.
It's not hot, but
it's a pleasant kick.
Yeah, it's just a little bit, enough to kind of get you feeling it a little bit. And people who know me, I'm very sensitive. I'm not one that can tolerate a lot of hot, like spicy foods. I'll eat them, like, wings and stuff like that, that's spicy. I mean, I'll start, sweating, profusely and everything.
Well,
really? It has that little bit of a little kick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Yeah, but it doesn't say anything like that. It's not something like, oh, hot chili. It's nothing like that. It's not to that level.
No.
With it, but
it's the green peppers and
yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Oh man. This one's actually pretty good. It's got bacon in it. I mean, you can't go wrong with bacon.
No. You add bacon to anything, you're good to go.
They had me at PBR and bacon. I was like, all
right. Yeah, beef, bacon, and beer. I mean, that's the trifecta. I mean, that we all love there.
Beer is in the ingredient.
Gotta crack open a little of this
this
little 12 ouncer bottle here to keep it going.
Jealous.
Yeah, I couldn't find them in a bottle anywhere.
I seen them, and I like I told Bob, I don't remember where.
You know, have you ever watched that movie? It's called Beer Fest.
Yeah,
Beer Fest. Yes,
they don't remember where the location was, so they get drunk because they were drunk when they went there.
Mm-hmm.
The first, or I don't know if it's Beer Fest or the Pong one or something, but they get drunk so that they can find the location. Maybe you should.
You have to retrace your steps as you were at that.
My life is like the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So get on the topic of chili and chili traditions are very regional. All right, so I was originally born in northern Ohio around Akron and Cleveland area, and we just did chili with like oyster crackers. I moved to Kentucky in 94, and I was dating a girl, and she took me to her parents' house, and we're going to have a chili night. And her being a good Southern girl, she fixed my bowl for me and, you know, put my plate in front of me. I don't even have to get up. And I look at my bowl, and I have looks like chili, but there's freaking spaghetti noodles in it.
Oh, was a skyline chili?
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
All right. And I got a peanut butter sandwich. Not peanut butter and jelly, just peanut butter.
Sandwich. Okay.
All right. And I said, I thought we were having chili. She's like, that's chili. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is there spaghetti noodles in my chili? Because I never experienced that before in my life. And what's the deal with the peanut butter sandwich? That's for where I'm at, a Kentucky tradition. It's what they do. They put spaghetti in their chili and make peanut butter sandwiches. Huh. I guess the spaghetti noodles are a filler. That to me, chili's filling enough.
Yeah.
The beans and the beef and whatnot. But we're in three different regions of the country. So what's going on in your area?
Yes, I'll do rice with the chili. Like whenever I make chili, I'll usually make rice with it, just white rice. And then do the chili over the rice. You know, I usually do because I know the type of beans too. I know is also a big thing. I usually do the dark red, and I do a can of dark red and light red kidney beans.
Okay,
that's my go-to. Usually, I mean, it's pretty basic. You know, whatever amount of ground beef that you're using, two cans of beans, the tomato paste. And then, your chili powder, your cumin, and then your seasoning, if you're throwing in, onions or throw in, Ratel or some sort of peppers or whatever else you're throwing in there, with it. But that's kind of like the basic, and I'll do it over rice. And then usually put some shredded cheese on top of it. So that's like my basic, and then pouring in whatever if you're going to pour in a little, PBR, or like I did the little Four Loko in the chili, one of those things.
Yes, you did that last time.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you barely, I mean, I'm not putting that much in, so you're not really tasting anything with it. But I had that memory pop up right after last week's podcast we recorded, where I, from 2 years ago when I was doing the, I had the fruit punch Four Loko and cooking the chili with it there. So I was like, okay, you know, take a sip of the Loko. Okay, put a little bit in, you know, same little for me, little for you, and going back and forth like that. So, I mean, like I said, my chili that I make is usually pretty basic, but it's solid. And I like the thicker chili.
Yeah, I agree.
I know some people that you have, like, it's very, like, not necessarily watery, but it's very liquidy. Yeah. I like to have it more of a solid, you know, very, very similar to how this one is.
Yeah. Here,
where it is, like, just a little bit where it will drip off a little bit, but it's still thick.
Yeah. And if you're putting it over rice, that's a perfect combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, with us over here, we do chili. Some people like it spicy. I'm a spicy person. So if they cook it spicy, I could do that. There's a lot of there's a lot of cities and areas here in Texas where they do cook it spicy. But we have cornbread with it. Cornbread is
okay. Right.
And a lot of southern raised people, you know, will make the sweet cornbread with like the sugar in it, and then we kind of crunch up the cornbread in it and mix it in there.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I grew up eating chili, you know. And then with adding like noodles or rice or whatever, most of the people I've been around and cooked where they add something is macaroni noodles. They'll put macaroni noodles in it.
All right.
Yeah. And then sprinkle some cheese and stuff. And it's almost like a chili mac, but not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's what I like doing chili that mac, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I always like taking that, the leftover chili with, if you have, then do some mac and cheese and then kind of just toss it in there together. The chili mac's always, always good.
But that's expected. You know, you're expecting that pasta in it.
Yeah.
Somebody says, hey, we're having chili mac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Automatically, elbow noodles.
Mm-hmm.
You expect it. But chili night, I wasn't expecting spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know, that pasta don't go. See, I had traditional upbringing. You know, we had spaghetti and then pasta.
Yeah, chili.
Yeah, it's two separate nights.
It is absolutely.
You had your spaghetti night and your chili night. We're not mixing the spaghetti noodles in the chili. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had, you know, different, and this is going to go so many directions. You brought up cornbread. You know, you have sweet cornbread for this type of meal. You had fried cornbread for this type of meal.
Exactly.
And, you know, there was different cornbreads, and whatever was left over, you put that, you broke it up in a bowl in the morning and poured milk over it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
I've had that.
That was some of the, you know, that's some of the best right there. I always made way too much cornbread.
Now you can never make enough cornbread.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I love cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we just sprinkle it in there and kind of mix it up with the chili, and it's good, especially the sweet cornbread. It adds that sweetness to it. And so it's like a sweet and a spice, but like this one that we made, you know, she made here. Of course, it does have like the peppers in it and everything like that, but it's not
spicy.
But it's good. It's got the right amount of seasoning and everything like that in it. And then the PBR in it. It's not bad.
Yeah. And then you got your PBR to complement it.
Definitely. I got to say.
That's always hand in hand.
I did the Walmart app and ordered it. And the boys at the, there was kind of like a screw up on my app. It told me that it was ready to pick up. And when I went there, normally you tell them what location you're parking in, but it didn't give me that option. And so I just pull up there and the guys, you know, I deal with them all the time. And they're followers to our podcast and our videos, and they ask me questions all the time. So I'm like, hey boys, it's your turn. I ordered this stuff. Where's it at?
We need it.
And they're like, oh, we got it for you. And they come running out. I said, you know, this is for the podcast tonight. And they're like, oh, man, when can we get on? You know, I'm like, hey, you know, whenever you're ready, let's do it. And they were asking me about Four Loko. And one boy, he said, I don't drink a lot. And I said, well, keep it that way. But if you do decide to try a Four Loko, I think it'd be proper for you to just experience it on the podcast. So right. To the right. Boys over there, yeah, you know there who you go. Are. Yeah,
you want to pop our stuff. I was gonna say, you want to pop that Four Loko cherry. You come on over here. We'll take care of you. We'll make it nice. We'll make it nice and easy for you.
That's right.
Make sure you have a place to lay down and take a nap, though.
Yeah,
that's right. Make sure you put the toilet seat down when you sit and pee, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to fall in.
No. But it's awesome. Those guys are straight shooters. I like them.
I love people like that. I love when people ask me about like Four Loko. Like whenever I wear these, they're like, oh man, yeah. Where did you get that from? And I'm like, well, I'm sponsored by Four Loko. You know, like I get a lot of stuff for free. Sometimes, like a couple times here and there, I've actually saw something that I wanted, but that they didn't send for free and I buy it, you know, but
yeah,
they're like, oh man, that's so cool. I didn't know that. And then they tell me their Four Loko stories. I'm like, well, you should drink more Four Loko.
Definitely.
Oh man, yeah, that chili pairs perfectly with this. That was a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've had a canned chili.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never really a go to. I mean, soup. I mean, canned soup every now and then. You know, we'll get some if it's on sale, and then you'll have it here and there if it's just something quick to have for lunch. Or something like that, but it's been a while. I haven't had too many canned chili fries. I mean, I've had the Hormel chili is like probably the number one brand of canned chili probably in the country. And so, I mean, I've had that one multiple times over the years, and I've never had a problem with it. For knowing what it is going into it, that's always what we say with all this stuff. You know what you're getting. Going into it, you're not expecting anything to be this mind-blowing, amazing experience,
right?
With the drinks we cover, or a canned chili, but for it being, I mean, the serving size is set in can, and it's 530 calories per one can, which isn't bad. I mean, honestly, I mean the 1,430 milligrams of sodium isn't the greatest thing to
brought up to me.
To look at there. it's kind of deceiving with how much that it is only, you know, just over, you know, 16 ounces. It seems like you'd be more like this. Like when I was pouring it into, you know, this mug here. I still had room at the top. I was like, at first, I'm like, oh, is this going to all fit in here? Do I have to put it in a bowl? But it still did. But the contents of it, you don't need much more because it is very filling the amount you get with it there compared to, I mean, you're thinking of a soup, something like this, where it's like, I mean, that's a lot lighter. I mean, even though the beer cheese with potatoes and chorizo Pabst is 470 calories per container, but this one has 1,720 milligrams of sodium on it. So, so that's why.
But you're looking at 28 grams of protein.
Yes, they're really hanging their hat.
They are.
They are on the website, and I'm going through on the Walmart site, and it has all the pictures. There's the big one that zoomed in on 28 grams of protein per can. serve and your nutrition facts. You got your ingredients, which is and all the stuff that they show on the side of the can. But yeah, it's like 28 grams. It's like, all right. Well, thanks, guys. Now,
if you need a good post workout meal,
I'm pleased. I'm well pleased in this. Yes,
yeah. I am pretty pleased. That was actually really good.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was not bad. I mean, look at that. It's empty now.
Yeah, mine like, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a little bit. I got a little bit left here. So
that was good.
Yeah, Bob's gonna do shots of it now.
That's right.
I don't gotta get those beans man. In. Gotta get to the bottom and get those beans in there. But yeah, going into it knowing what you're expecting for $2.62 or $2.48, whatever you guys paid for it over there.
I forgot what I paid, honestly.
For this, I mean,
for somebody that, you know, wants to pack their lunch for work or anything like that. They got the cans with the easy open lid.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's perfect. You know.
Yeah, $2.62 is what I paid.
Okay. Yeah, same here. Yeah. No. I mean, it says here, you know, cheers to this convenient canned chili with seasoned cooked beef and pork, bacon, kidney beans, and Pabst Blue Ribbon beer for chili that hops.
Yeah,
with 28 grams of protein per can, the satisfying chili with beans fuels even the heartiest of appetites. Yeah. Campbell's Chunky Chili is a year-round pantry staple and the MVP of game day snacks.
Yep.
Delivering a winning combination of flavor and convenience. Enjoy a bowl of this canned chili with beans and meat when watching the game from home or serve it over hot dogs, nachos, and other tailgating snacks. Yeah. To prepare the microwave chili, pour into a microwave safe bowl and heat. Do not add water, or you can heat it in the hot in a saucepan over the stove, stirring occasionally. So,
I'd make a good dip too. Throw some chunks of Velveeta in it, melt it.
Oh yeah,
thicken it up a little bit. Get some Fritos or chips or anything. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, but if you made it as a, pour it over nachos or.
Yes.
Do a chili dog with it.
Yeah.
It does contain traces of wheat. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Oh, man. I didn't taste any wheat in that. I mean, maybe there is wheat in you know,
that's true. Maybe. Yeah, that's where they get you.
That's probably what it is. That's where they get you. Yeah. It's not bad though. I mean, it's good with that beer. Damn. If I was homeless, I'd get a 12 pack of this and
get that. There you go. 12 pack of that. You got your can of chili, man, and you're good to go, man. That's all you need for.
So when you brought up the Four Loko thing, I went on and seen if they hadn't even opened my message yet.
What about? Did you send it on Facebook or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying, I feel like they answer Instagram more than Facebook. So.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They took about a day. They took about a day to get back to me, but then they did.
Yeah, I don't think they're constantly checking the DMs over there.
Going back through other times I've had communications with Four Loko, they were fairly quick at answering or getting back to me on whatever subject. I was going back through all the different conversations I had with them. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens because Four Loko, I'm feeling left out.
I know.
No, you got to show some love.
Need to hook up our boy Roadhouse over here. Come on now. You can't be like my dad and not be present, okay?
You're going to get Marble Reds and milk.
Yeah, that's right. You can't go off and get milk and never come back. You gotta come back with it. Yeah, they owe you a lot of child support.
Definitely.
They do.
I know. They got to show you some love over there. You gotta get the good stuff.
Oh, I mean, up to this point, I'm not, you know, I'm not whining or anything. It's just like
if you're going to be, we need to
get this triangle together.
That's right.
And get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And I'm excited for y'all to try I tried both of them, I guess. Yeah. They're both good. Yeah, they're both good.
I didn't try both of them. Oh wait, I did try.
I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
All right, I forgot.
No, I mean, I had to open that one. Like whenever I found it in Houston on the way back from Houston, I had to open it up and
Sure.
Take a little break and chug it down and see how it tasted. But, man, y'all are going to love them.
Well, same when I found the Jungle Juice pregame. We tried it that night, but I didn't drink at all because I only bought two of them. So I sent Bob one and I kept the other so we could do it on the show. Ooh.
There you go. That's a good one. That's the one now. And that's the chili. You got the beer and the chili now sitting there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, dude.
That's going to be going all night now. That's why I was like, like when you're eating this late, you're like, oh no, this is going to be sitting with me now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That indigestion is no joke.
No,
it's not.
Yeah, we'll I gotta take pantoprazole for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
yeah, because they said what caused me to tear my esophagus was the acid reflux.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So
that's crazy, man. I can't believe you went through that.
I'm a champ, man.
You survived, and you're here now, chowing down on some PBR chili.
That's right, man.
Yeah,
that's right. I've never cried in a hospital, but I did that day. Because they were telling me I was dying. And I was like, how are you going to come in here and tell me I'm dying? Like,
they actually came in and said you're dying.
They said you're going into sepsis. And if you keep on, your blood pressure keeps on going, you're going to die.
Oh.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. And that's going to cause my blood pressure to go up even more.
Right. Then that's not going to help anything. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, man. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I went into, last year I went into hospital. I went to the ER and I said, I'm thinking I'm feeling kind of weird. Maybe I'm having a heart attack or something. They're like, oh, let's just take your blood pressure. It's like 300 and something over 195 or anything. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty good. And they're like, no.
No, that's not good. That's bad.
I'm like,
I thought the higher the
number, the better. You want good pressure. They're like, no, you're on the verge of having a stroke. I'm like, oh.
Thanks.
Yeah, so that, led to like a week-long stay in the hospital.
God bless. Those week-long stays in the hospital are no joke. It gets boring.
No, yeah. So they put a stent in my widowmaker. And I said, so my fix, can I go? I got stuff to do. And they're like, no, you're just going to have to stay here where we can monitor you. I'm like, well, I got to go. And so I got dressed and left.
Hey, there you go. I tried to. They said, you know what, man? They said, you can go, but we'll get the security guard to bring you back up. And I was like, shit.
No, it's like escaping from prison.
Yeah.
It felt like it.
I was halfway home and my phone was ringing. I didn't recognize the number, so I figured it was them. And then my wife called and said, like, the hospital just called. Where are you at? I'm like, I'm about to the house. They're like, no, you got to go back or they're not going to pay. They're not going to turn it into insurance. I'm like, yeah, let's see. I'm not turning into insurance. If they want pay, they will.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I went on home.
Oh, man.
I had shit to do. I had beer to drink.
That's right, man. That's right. You say, my beer's getting warm.
Yeah, this beer's not going to drink itself, mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we recorded a couple days after that.
Yeah, I think I had texted you and I was like, oh, what are we doing this week? And you're like, oh, I'm in the hospital right now. It's like, yeah, like, oh, okay. Funny. I'm like, all right. Well, let me know. And then it was like 3 days later. Okay, I'm good now. Oh, you're done. Yeah,
that's right.
A heart attack's just a hiccup.
Yeah,
that's right, man. I tell you what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's what they say.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, man. Well, it makes you stronger.
Yeah, buddy.
And here we are today, man.
Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, cheers. Hey. Oh,
wait. I got to cheer. I got to open.
Yeah,
there you go. Yourself. Get in there. Get you that Godzilla.
That Godzilla.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pabst is such a good beer.
It is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
not, I
it's
still
not a
think.
Bad beer at all.
And I know people have been complaining the switch. With where they're brewing it, when Anheuser-Busch took over the brewing of it. So there's been a lot of people complaining about, oh, well, the taste isn't the same, this and that. I mean, I think for the PAP side of things, I mean, like I said, I still haven't had the new Colt 45 yet, so I can't attest to that. That's the big one
that
people are complaining about because of Anheuser-Busch doing seeing that. Yeah, but on the PAP side of things, I'm like, even if it doesn't taste like the regular old school PAPs, but it tastes good enough to me. I mean, yeah. I don't have any issue with it. I have no issue with it. I think it tastes fine, just like any other beer out there, a standard beer. I mean, you can't go wrong.
You know, growing up, PAPs was bottom shelf beer. And then, you could buy a 12-pack or a case of Pabst, like, real decent price. Somewhere here in the, mid-2000s, when the hipsters got a hold of it, and it became a premium beer, they were on the lines, the same pricing as Coors and Budweiser and all that, and I just totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
This isn't a banquet. This isn't, a high life. It's Pabst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get on that level, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, luckily it's still
not great.
Yeah. I think it's a good standard beer that it tastes like beer. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
With it. And for the price too. I mean, it's still, when I was at the store when I had picked up the bottles a few weeks ago, I was looking at the shelf and looking at the six-pack prices, and it was essentially the cheapest six-pack that the store I went to had. I mean, I think it was $5.99 for a six-pack, which is still, it's not bad. It's not great. I mean, it used to be cheaper.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've gone through that many times. Compared to like a Miller or a Bud.
But if you're buying a working man's beer off the shelf, you shouldn't be paying more. You shouldn't be paying $1 a serving,
No, I mean, that's like the 12 packs, I mean, are now $10.99 a 12 pack.
Yeah, now so mine are $11.27.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were a few months earlier this year. They were usually $9.99 a 12 pack, and it was like right at that $10 price. But you do $10.99 now. It's like, ooh. I mean, not that it's that much of a difference.
Yeah,
but it's just the principle.
It's a principle of them squeezing that out of you. You're going to compromise,
right?
You're going to get it, and they know it, and they just. They just do it to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of leads into what our buddy, I don't know if you guys saw what our buddy David, Mr. Malt Liquor, had said in the one group chat we're all in about the expensiveness of craft beer. He thinks that He doesn't think that it's too expensive. He thinks it's too expensive. I don't think the market will hold long term in that eventually the craft brewers will price themselves out of business.
I agree.
Because, I mean, there's so many of them out there now.
Yeah.
And, well, you want to see everybody succeed for, like, the little guys, and you have your local breweries and stuff. But when you're charging those $16, $17 for, like, a four-pack of 16-ounce beers, I mean, that's a lot to ask people these days to pay when you could get a six-pack of 16-ounce PBRs. I think these were, might have been like $5.40 or $5.39 or something like that. So,
I mean, you can relate that, those microbreweries that are coming up and doing their thing. I understand. A grain build is so much money.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of work too, yeah.
And it's probably, they're not getting rich by doing it.
No.
But there's so many people, just like in podcasting, there's so many people that think podcasting is easy. and they do for 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes, maybe, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
All right. Bob, you've been doing it 10 plus years, 15 years. You know, it's not easy. You know, the amount of effort and work you put into it. You know, I'm on here with you week after week. I don't put in the work. I just join in, sit in. All right. You're putting in the work. All right.
What are we drinking? What are we doing? You come along for the ride. You bring your drinks.
Oh shit, it's already Thursday. Okay. Yeah. But you're putting in the work day in and day out, and people don't understand that type of dedication.
Right.
That goes into it. And I think it parallels with microbreweries.
Yeah, for sure. I would think so too. That, I mean, they're putting in the work, they're spending the money for all this stuff.
Yes.
And like I said, it's not cheap to do what they're doing. And if you want to get your return on your investment, you have to charge those higher prices. That's the only way to do it. I mean, unless you're selling massive quantities of the stuff.
Yeah.
You're not in a market where you're distributing like Anheuser-Busch. You can't compete with the big guys like that. What's tough it, and when David brought that up, and he's like, I mean, do you think that some of these will start going under a lot? I mean, you see every now and then you'll see people are like, oh, well, this brewery has been around for, you know, 10 years. Now they're closing their doors, and they'll have like some big send off and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm sure it's happening all over the place constantly. I mean, it's sad to see, because, you know, these people have the passion for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to keep up out there. You go down that craft beer aisle and it's just overwhelming.
It definitely is.
And you're like, okay, what are you getting? And if it's like Roadhouse, who's like a sucker for the artwork on the cans, it's like he'll see something that looks cool, and you're like, okay, cool, I'll get this beer because it looks cool. And then you try it out, and like you're saying too about, you know, IPAs, you take that first sip or something, you're like, ooh, okay, you know what? That's not good. Now I just spent, you know, $16 on a 4-pack of these. I drank one, and now these other ones will sit in my fridge for the foreseeable future until somebody comes over that I can pawn these off to.
And that's what sucks, is a lot of the ones that have the cool artwork are IPAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think some of the best artwork I've seen is the Iron Maiden beer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Oh man,
that's some good artwork. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to submit artwork and try to get it, but you really have to get in cahoots with, you know, with certain people, and you have to have a lot of connections in the art world, and that's just hard to get if you're not a big artist. You know, if you're like a small town artist, you know, like me or something like that, it's just hard to get. I mean, I've helped people create their logo and all that stuff like that, and then I've designed shirts for people. But other than that, like, I would love to be able to have my artwork on a beer can, but it's just hard. It's hard to do if you're not a big, you know, one of those big viral artists. You know, like I would do artwork for Pabst, honestly. Shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have like submissions. I think you can do from time to time. I know they'll be reaching out and say, hey, you know, we're looking for artists when they do these artist collaboration cans. So next time one pops up, you know, submit something to them and see, because I don't think they're picking, you know, huge, you know, well-known.
Does it have No, they don't. They don't even like have the artist's name or anything, huh? It just, yeah. Huh. I mean, it's decent artwork. Don't get me wrong. It's there, but.
I mean, this one's a lot more basic than the other ones they've done, which are like full cans that are all artwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, every town has their hometown brewery or microbrewery in their town, you know. When I lived in Lexington, we had Country Boy Brewing, which I've sent some. I think I sent some to you, Bob.
Might have been. Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And then in Louisville, we have like Against the Grain. They're right downtown by the ballpark. Great brewery. You know, you go down to the ballpark, you stop and get you some fresh drafts. It's amazing. When I get to talking about that, there's a brewery called Roadhouse Brew Company.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And I'm definitely going to make it a priority to, you know, take a road trip out west and visit this place. They respond to me all the time when I comment on their.
Yeah, place. I think I had found. Did I find them? I don't know. I forget.
Yeah, you follow them.
I don't know. I think I found the first. I was just searching something. It was like Roadhouse Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And I sent it to you, and I'm like, hey, look at this. Like, you should be, you know, part of this here.
Yes.
But I'm trying to see. Right. Is this Wyoming? Yeah. Yeah. Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap. Yeah. Man. It's what they post. They post a lot from their area as far as like scenics and
yeah, it looks great. I mean,
yes, I'm looking at it right now. They're just so that's a bucket list for me. Maybe on my way to Texas to see Kevin, I'll stop through Wyoming to check it out.
Yeah, there you go. Gotta hit the get Roadhouse and Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Roadhouse beer, man. Hell yeah. Oh man! See, we have two. We have two main ones. We used to have. We have three. We have Sunhouse, we have Primal, and we have Grain Theory. We used to have another two. One of them was Stock Dogger, and then what was the other one called? I don't even remember. Yeah, man, my mind just went blank for a second. It was a good one, though. It's Pappy Slocum. There we go.
Okay.
Now, so the main two here in town are Primal and Grain Theory, and both of them are very good. I mean, Sunhouse is good, too. It just depends on what your beer choice is, you know? Grain Theory is more of the modern. They go out, and they even traveled this summer to Germany. To a few breweries and stuff like that, and they studied the beer and stuff like that, and they kind of get ideas from that. So in efforts, you know, like money wise and stuff like that, and efforts on trying to better their beer and all that stuff like that, I think they top it in this town. You know, they go above and beyond, and they have three owners that are just they're very passionate about it, and they've done great even through COVID. Primal is great. He's a very great man. I've tattooed him, and I gave his daughter a little temporary tattoo because I tattooed her name on him and stuff, and she was there to watch it. And it was a great experience. He's a very good small business type of guy, you know, and makes very good beer, you know. And he just has a passion for it too. Sunhouse, I haven't got to know them, but in my opinion, I think Sunhouse and Grain Theory are both kind of back to back on their craft beer, you know, their craft beer brews. They're both real good. As I said, it depends on what you like though, because both of them have different beers. So, you know, in my opinion, I think the effort that they put towards it and you know, yes, the cost overhead and everything like that, just knowing from being a small business owner, I think that kind of is where the cost of the beer itself.
For sure. Yeah. I don't think any of them want to charge that much for the beer. And usually if you go to the, you know, the tap rooms themselves, you know, it's a lot cheaper. If you're drinking the beer there on tap, I mean, you're not spending as much as if you're going to the store and buying a 4-pack
of it
there. So that's the thing. And it's like they have to charge that much to make any amount of money back off of it. Otherwise, you're just constantly in the red for it. So, I mean, I get it 100%. And it's tough for them to compete with the big, you know, the big boys out there. So, I mean, that's what's tough. I mean, like when David brought that up and he was talking about that, and it's like, yeah, are they going to start? Are we going to see a decline? I mean, I don't know, because one opens, one closes, another one opens. It's just constantly a flow of everything. out there with these microbreweries around, and it's just getting out there and which ones will kind of eventually hit big or big for that, like I've been to like the Dogfish Head Brewery, stuff like that, which, you know, started out, you know, small brewery, a decent, you know, sized company, not at the, you know, Anheuser-Busch level or anything like that, or Sam Adams or something, but more well known, and I'm sure, you know, making more money now with everything and distribution all over the country. So it's stuff like that. So it's tough. I mean, like you said, they have to charge these prices if they want to make money on it. Yeah. And so, I mean, it sucks for us. Yeah. I mean, right. Like for us that, you know, you hate seeing it. You don't want to pay the $16 for a 4-pack of beer. It's like, look, I can get, you know, a 24-pack, or people can get 30 packs at that price of something cheap.
And it comes down to, like, you get a person like me that will drink 60 beers a week. I can't afford to drink
more expensive.
No, beers. unless you're getting some high ABV beers.
Yeah.
I mean, where you can go through and drink like two of them a night at, you know, if it's like a 12% or something.
Like
two, and then, but even in that case, I mean, that's only going to last you a few days, unless you're going to sprinkle in other stuff in between. But then, the heavier,
because I percentage beer, I will buy craft beer occasionally and spend the money for it. I just don't bring it on here. You know, I just enjoy it. I enjoy a good beer. These are great beers, don't get me wrong, but there's times when I sit back and I'm like, really take in, I can respect the effort in what I'm tasting, because I brewed my own beer and know what goes into the effort to make decent beer. When I first started brewing, it was trash. I powered through it, but I got to the point where I was making like really good beer. Now my grain bills versus what I yielded, I was upside down. I mean, I spent more money on my grain bill than, but the process was the reward, going through the process of brewing it and bottling it, and that was enjoyable. That was the cost I paid. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
No, it makes sense. No, yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah, it's your
definitely 100% makes sense. It's rewarding being able to taste.
Yeah,
it's very rewarding
being able to taste. The whole process of brewing beer makes me wish I had more people with me while I was doing it, because it's that fun of a process.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you can use the help. There's nothing more exciting than when you got your boil going on and you're adding the yeast and you got to control the heat so you don't get a boil over. That's exciting. And then you have to cool it down, and it's just like how quick can I get this cooled down? The faster, the better, you know, before you put it in the fermenter. It's just, the whole process is great. I love it. And that's doing whole grain. That's doing grain brewing. Now you buy these kits, that homebrew kits. They use the sugars and everything are already extracted from the grain. You just have a syrup that you add to hot water, then you add your yeast, and that's enough to, you know, break you in the process. Where you get really hooked is when you're going to do like, just all grain. You go to a place, you buy all your grain, you mill it, you steep it. All it's just the process is worth the reward of.
Yeah.
Because I'd go to the grain house and I'd fill up a trash bag, which would be about 40 to 50 pounds of grain, different malts and grains and wheats and barleys. It may be $70, $80 to make two cases of beer.
Yeah.
Yep. See, that's where that cost comes from, you know, is.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. And so circle back around. I understand that. Yeah. They want $16 for 4 cans of beer or 16 ounce cans of beer. I do understand that cost, but you're not going to get repeat buyers. Your art's going to be great. You're going to buy things by art. An ABV. But it's just, it's hard.
Yeah, you'll go. You might go into the store one day, you're picking up a 12 pack or a 24 pack of something, of a PBR or a Hams or whatever, and you'll be going down the aisle. You might see a 4-pack of something, and you're like, okay, you know, that looks interesting. All right, I'll pick it up. I'll spend the $16, and you'll take it home. You'll drink it. You'll like it. You'll be like, okay, you know, this is a solid beer, no complaints. And you might finish a couple days. Maybe you might only drink one of them, and then drink the other beers you bought. So then a few weeks go by. And it might not be until another month or two later that then you go back and say, okay, yeah, I had that beer. Now I'll pick that up again. It's not like you're going there every week and restocking.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole thing. It's like maybe every month or so you'll go in and you see this one. Okay, well, I had this one last time. All right, you know, I'll try this other one.
Yeah.
See how it is. And then hoping that you're not going to get burned on it and be like, oh, well, you know, the taste isn't that great. And you're like, okay, crap. Now I got 3 more cans of this. I mean, I'll have to power through eventually and drink or give to somebody else and have them.
Yeah.
That's the situation I hate being in is you get curious. And that's my problem when I go in the beer aisle, especially when I see the craft beers, because I'm a very curious person. Anywhere I travel, I have to go to a brewery there just to try because of curiosity.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's kind of a hobby of mine, I guess. But whenever I go to HEB, which is our grocery store here, and I see all those craft beers, I'm like, ooh, that one looks good. But then you try one and you're like, well, shit. And you can't buy a single one. You can buy it in the 4 or the 6-pack. And you pay all that money, and then you taste it, and you're like, well, it's just not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So that's kind of.
I wish they sold more singles. That's the thing, is so that I could try it.
Right. If you don't have that brewery right in your area that you can't go in and have a sample of it. There's one thing, you go there, and it's like, okay, here, you get your flight. Okay, here's 4 different beers. Okay, try each of them. And see, okay, all right, I like this one. Okay, this other one, not that great. Okay, I hate this one. Okay, I'll just pound down, you know, the small glass, quick, get it over with. Now, you know, okay, if I go into the store, I'm not buying this one. I might buy that one. But if it's somebody, some company, some brewery, you have no idea, you're going in blind.
Yeah.
Hoping
I always not get buying the something. I always get
the
I love the Oh, man. I'm telling you, flights are it's the best way to go when you go into a brewery you've never been into.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, we went to Houston one time for a soccer game, and our cousin was like, hey, you know, I'm going to take you to all these breweries and then a couple bars all around the stadium before we go. So we started at brunch at 10 in the morning. We had some mimosas, and then we embarked on our adventure. And we went to all these breweries. And every single one, I tried a flight because I was like, I want to try as many beers as I can. And then if I like one, I'll get a pint, you know?
So yeah.
That's what I'll do. And of course, granted, we went to quite a few and I got pretty drunk, but
sure.
It was worth it, you know?
Yeah,
I didn't have these, you know, these situations where I'm like, oh, I don't like that beer. I'm not going to finish it. And I wasted my money. You know, you're right, Bob. You try a beer that you don't like in the flight, and you just pound it down. You tough it out.
Yeah,
pound it down,
right. In that case, you can pound it down. Then okay, they can drink another one that you do like, and then that will wash out, you know, that flavor. I know that was the other thing saying that was like, oh well, if it's an IPA, you know that taste will linger with you. It's like, yeah, we all know. Yeah. We all know
the best concept ever invented.
Yeah, yeah. If you could do that, you can go in. Okay, here's, you know, pick four beers, whatever, try them out, you know, your smaller glasses just to get you a taste of everything. Or if you get lucky and some of them, they'll give you that little sample, you know, that little taste, which is the best. Yeah. We can say, just try, you know, this. You can just take a little sip, one sip, and say, okay, you'll know right away if you're going to like this or not. So it's just go through there, try it out. And go through. So it's interesting to see. I mean, it's a great, you know, thing. You know, David brought up, and he's like, "What do you think's going to happen with these things?" And I mean, I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, I think you're just going to see a lot of the same situations where one might close down,
yeah,
another one pops up.
Exactly. That's
I guess it depends on the location and how well they do in person with, you know, customers coming into their actual breweries and the environment they have there. I mean, the prices aren't going to change. We know it's always been these
fans like Dave. I really am. Cause you know, he puts a lot of effort into his searching and his drinking. I feel it gives me opportunity to step aside and let them guys take the reins.
Yeah, that's right. I love, as I said, it's a hobby of mine to go to breweries and stuff. And so everyone I've been to here in Texas so far, they do let you try it. You know, like, you're like, hey, can I try that? And I guess, I don't know if it's Southern hospitality or what. I mean, I want to try it out also in Philly, because Philly is one of the most hateful towns I've been to, you know, but
Pride lets them let you taste,
you know,
it.
And see if,
they want.
Yeah, it's not much to say, okay, here, just have a little sip. Yeah, you want to.
I think they're more excited for you than you are excited for them.
Yeah, because they want you to try that little bit of beer, you know, like, oh, I like that one. That one's good. And then sometimes, like, I think it's because I'm a business owner and I don't like when somebody's like, oh, I don't like that, you know, like, so I don't really necessarily show that I don't like a beer. I'm just like, oh, I like that one better. But in my mind, I'm like, ooh, that one tastes like shit.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Ooh, here's so that tastes like pine cones. All right, I don't want that one yet.
Yeah. You, as a business owner, you'd rather hear that. Honestly, you would rather hear that criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
is true.
So you need to give that to them just the same as you would want them to give it to you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess it's also a whole – I try to read the room. If I can give them that constructive criticism, they're not going to backlash at me. Like, it's not going to backlash on me.
Right.
Then, I'll be like, hey, you know, I just didn't like that, you know.
But personally, like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's, you know –
it's not for your palate. The next guy who walks in next year, he might have a sip of that. Yeah, if you got, like I said, if it's an IPA, you're not an IPA guy. You take that sip, you're like, ooh, man, that
straight up. Yeah.
That's like, ooh, that just tastes like pine cones. Then the next guy walks in, he's like, oh, you know, this is very hoppy. You know, it's like, all right, buddy. All right. So there's your guy for them. He gets the IPA.
Yeah,
you know, get me the Pilsner or something over there. Get me something basic.
I love sour beers.
Me too. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sour beers are so good.
Sour beers to me are just filled with so much, you know, from microbreweries, not just, you know, not like Sour Blue Raz or anything like
that. Yeah.
No, but a sour beer for me, stimulates my taste buds.
It does. It has so much. It has so much flavor to it.
Yes.
And it keeps you guessing, like, oh, what's all in this?
I don't want a sweet beer. I don't want to, you know. If I wanted mead, I like mead. But I go into mead knowing it's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
You know, mead's crazy. That whole fermenting of mead is crazy. But I'll go full circle and go right back to, like, my love and passion is malt liquor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
You know.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And I went on so many beer forums and brewery forums and tried to find a malt liquor brew to do at home. It's so taboo. Nobody wants
wants to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to crack the code. You have to crack the code yourself.
Yes. And I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start because there's no information on it. It's so, like, taboo. I don't know the word to use.
Close to the vest there. Yeah, nobody wants to go down that road or share that information with anybody.
Like, so maybe this winter, why, you know, you kind of close off for the winter and everything like that. And I'm thinking maybe I'll get back into home brewing again.
Yeah.
You know,
that's been on my list for like the past 15 years. I still have this. I had one of those homebrew kits that I bought years ago that's still in the package that I never opened any of that. I mean, I'm sure probably, I don't know how good any of that stuff lasts. So I'd have to buy new, the ingredients for it there, but the actual rest of the instruments for it are brand new, perfectly fine. Might just have to get some new,
My very first time brewing was one of those kits that was all in one, but I didn't have like proper bottles, so I was putting them in like empty fists of whiskey bottles, and every one of them exploded.
Oh man.
I mean, exploded. No, and I had them in like my wife's craft room. And, you know, it's weeks. And so you don't check on them every day. And she's like, I went in my craft room and all these bottles exploded. I got glass everywhere. And the whole room smells like shit. All right.
You need to go in there and clean this up. Okay. All right.
Number one.
Yeah. Duly noted. All right. We would not do this again. We will get the proper instruments for our home brewing out there. So if anybody out there has any home brewing tips, you know, let us know. Leave a comment down there in the YouTube video. Any home brewing tips if you're a home brewer yourself, or even if you use just one of the kits or something and that's your go-to, you know, let us know. We're happy to hear about that. And maybe we'll dive into it this winter.
I'm thinking really hard about it. I reordered another catalog from Northern Brewing Company, which is a supplier for homebrewers.
Okay.
And I have a lot of the equipment, but it's 10, 15 years old. It's maybe time to replace, or they got something better. So I ordered a catalog a couple weeks ago just to see what's changed since the last time I bought equipment. I'm ready to do it again.
Something to give a shot. Yeah, something to try out and see kind of how your own brews turn out.
Yeah,
is the thing. How good or bad they may be, because I know it always takes a few runs through it before you can finally get something that's actually drinkable for certain people. I know I've had a couple friends that try brewing their stuff over the years, and they're like, yeah, the first batch we did, you know, it was not very good, but then we went through it again. Okay, then we kind of got the mixture down properly, and you kind of get and figure out, okay, what you need to add, you know, add, subtract to it, and get the right combination out there for it. So be interesting to see.
That's what I love about this time of year. I mean, this time of year brings out the creativeness with beer in people, you know, and it brings out my curiosity, because I always walk down the aisle from October up until December or January. I'm constantly looking at what holiday beers they have, what flavors of beers they have, you know, what's coming out. And as I said, my curiosity always gets the best of me. I'm like, oh, I want to try that one, you know. And of course, occasionally you'll kind of hit one that you're just like, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you bum it off on your friends or something like that. You
find somebody who likes it. That's somebody will like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have somebody you know who will have the palate for it. That's out right there. When you go through, like I said, going through between the Oktoberfest season to the end of the year, the Christmas time, when you're going through and seeing, okay, all the seasonal beers and everything, okay, which ones are going to hit, which one's going to miss.
That's right. Which one goes good with like Halloween, you know, which one goes good with your Thanksgiving meal, which one's going to taste like Christmas the best, you know? And I mean, like, Shiner does a pretty decent job on that. I mean, now Shiner's got a good Oktoberfest, but it's not the best. That's the thing is,
correct.
Is I've tried so many Oktoberfests, and I think out of the craft or even like, you know, a step down below craft, I think my favorite so far is probably Yingling.
Mm-hmm.
Yingling Oktoberfest. And I saw you guys try that. I think that's one of my favorite.
It's very good. Very good.
I'm like, I said that was a sleeper. I was saying, like, when I had that, a few weeks back, originally my friend had got it, and he's like, yeah, you had got some Yingling Oktoberfest, and I cracked it open and I tried it. I'm like, okay, that's good. And then my other friend, he's like, how's the Yingling Oktoberfest? I'm like, I haven't had it in a few years. And I'm like, this is a sleeper. This is solid. And that's why I brought Russell. I'm like, we should do this. He's like, you know what? I was thinking of the same thing the other day. So trying that out, doing the Yingling Oktoberfest.
It is. It's very underestimated. And I think it's passed by, a lot of people pass by it to go to like Shiner or Samuel Adams, because those are the more well-known, like, and I guess older Oktoberfest people are used to. But when you see Yingling that comes out, because they had the Yingling Fly and then all these other lighter beers that Yingling has, and they come out with the Oktoberfest, you don't expect that, and you're like, okay. But when I tried it, I was like, oh god, actually one of the better Oktoberfests. As I said, this time of year is one of the most expensive times for beer for me, because I get curious, and I, especially Oktoberfest, I'm like, I want to find a better Oktoberfest than I did last year, and that's always my goal. And honestly, Yingling has been it's been a top contender for the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you can buy in the store, but the Sam Adams Oktoberfest, you get that on draft. I had that this past that's weekend out to dinner. I mean, that's pretty solid, because usually readily available. Like, you'll rarely ever see Yingling Oktoberfest on draft.
Oh,
it's
rare
that you're ever disappointed with any Sam Adams product.
Samuel Adams is another. It's a very solid one. I will most likely. Yeah, I'll probably get one and drink it during Halloween. That's that one and Yingling are the two that I stick with all throughout October and November.
Roadhouse and myself, we were talking about doing the Sam Adams has the fall variety pack. With the Oktoberfest, I think the sweater one, the Oktoberfest sweater one. Because he had brought it up, and I said, I saw that in the store, and then so we said we were going to bring that up for a future pack.
I'm still waiting for Four Loko to come out with a fall flavor.
I know they always tease that pumpkin spice one.
I would actually there. Drink it. I'm not a huge pumpkin spice guy, but I'll drink it. And I'll try it. And honestly, I might like it. You never know. I mean, that Thriller pack, the pumpkin one, I loved it. It was actually pretty good. It didn't have too much. It actually was – I just finished it off this past weekend, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
I tried every single
Sam one. Adams has the variety pack called the Fall Legends. And the first one is the Harvest Hails. And then Oktoberfest, and their pumpkin ale called Jacko. And the last one, which makes me curious, is the Flannel Fest.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a Munich style Dunkin or Dunkel. So every Dunkel Munich style beer I've had just blows me away. So I saw it. I snapped a picture. I sent it to Bob. I didn't buy it that day, but when I went back to buy it, it's gone and empty. That spot hasn't been filled, and I get pissed.
I was going to say, hopefully they'll refill. I mean, usually it's through October that they'll and that's what they say, at least on the website, that, you know, from August through October,
yeah,
it would be out there. So hopefully there's still time. Usually they're still good with that stuff until like the end of October, getting the fall beers and the Oktoberfest beers out there before they then switch over to the, at least Sam Adams, you know, switches over to like the winter lager and that whole variety pack.
Yeah. Those are stuff good over too. There.
Yeah. So we'll, We have that on the list to cover the fall, the Sam Adams, the fall variety pack, and going through with that stuff there. So stay tuned for that one there. But today we went through some PBR chili. PBR and some PBR. Bottles, cans, all the cans.
I mean, I went through four of them pretty good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, I think
it'll be easier for me to show you what I didn't drink.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right, you had four of the 16 ounce cans.
They just go down so smooth, they really do.
That's the whole thing with PBR. It's a smooth drinking beer,
it is smooth as silk.
Yeah, smooth, you can't go wrong there. Compliments the Pabst Beef Bacon and Beer Chili with Beans. I mean, I think we all said we all approve. Say this is pretty solid. Pretty solid. I mean, for the, you know, for $2.66 or whatever, you're gonna see it at your local Walmart. You can't really go wrong with this for something quick, easy. Even if you're not gonna eat it as a full meal out of, you know, a bowl or a mug, but if you were to put it over like nachos or do something with it, if you're adding it to something, I think that's another great way to do it. If you're somebody that's like, I'm not just going to eat a can of PBR chili, but maybe you should. I mean, we did it.
Yes,
we did it. So you can't go wrong with that there, but there's also, you know, stay tuned. You never know. You could see this show up.
Oh, man.
This could show up soon.
Some Malab Chorizo sausage.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So,
I expect a little bit of heat with it. And, I can't wait to do that one.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that one out there. But in the meantime, don't forget to smash that subscribe button on the Bum Wine Bum YouTube channel. As our unofficial 11,000 subscriber not a challenge.
Hey,
celebration here with a little Pabst the chili for us here today. So tell your friends to check it out. And Kevin, anything else you want to say before we sign off here?
Guys, I just want y'all to know I really do appreciate every single time I'm on this show. It's every single time it's like I'm just hanging with family and drinking.
I appreciate you guys so much.
And anybody, and if you need to get some tattoos or some piercings, be sure to hit up Kevin if you're in the Texas area over at the Happy Dragon tattoo over there.
Second only shop in Texas, man.
Yeah, there you go. See, hit him up. Hit him up. He'll hook you up there. Roadhouse, anything else?
Hey, buddy, you know me. I'm content with all of you guys. I appreciate you so much supporting us, watching us, spreading a good word on the bottom shelf. You know, our bottom shelf.
Bottom shelf.
What we talked about today, we are still bottom shelf.
Hey, I mean,
that's right.
I mean, literally, I mean, you want bottom? I mean, it's pretty close to the bottom. I think probably maybe a little more expensive than the.
Yeah. It was about knee high.
Yeah, about knee high. Yeah. We'll see out there. But anything else you want to see us cover, you know, let us know. Leave a comment.
Yeah, comment section on the YouTube
channel. And tell your friends to spread the word about the best of the worst in cheap booze here. Bum Wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, all the good stuff we have you covered here on the Bum Wine Bob YouTube channel. So for Kev the Tattoo Dude, for Roadhouse, I am Bum Wine Bob. And until next time, cheers.
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 Motherfuckers!
I need a beer.